Hello and welcome to the Wonder What podcast. My name is Rob.
I'm Robbie.
And what are we doing here, Robbie? What's happening?
So many things.
Oh, man. You've dragged me away from whatever it is I was doing. Important things.
What were you going to go do?
Well, actually, I was in the middle of drawing skulls.
What were you going to do when you were done with that?
I don't know.
Go outside?
Maybe.
Yeah.
So, but here we are. And now that we're here, what are we doing? We're here to talk about what, Robbie?
All things Eastgate, which is the main purpose for our podcast. I was going to say our blog. I don't know where that came from, but for our podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So talk about what's going on with our fellowship, our community. Yeah. And wow, what a year.
So many things. I was looking back on the podcast we've done this year, and the very first one we did was early February, and it was called Things Are Looking Bright. That was wrong.
Boy.
I mean, we met just the light, I think, in your office. But I'm like,
oh,
wow,
my gosh.
Has time
I can't
changed.
Believe it. Yeah, that's pretty amazing how just a few months make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. So, you mentioned this last Sunday, and one of the things that helps me get through this is some of the most funny memes that are out there. And you mentioned how at least we have a sense of humor during this time. And I have loved some of the different things out there because it does just feel kind of crazy.
It does. So many things that have happened.
It
does. And I just, so last time that we had a podcast, I think we were just getting ready to go meet at Pineapple Willie's, right?
I think so, yes. We've had two in the midst of the quarantine, believe it or not, because it's been going on that long. The kind of
two
podcasts.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Two in the middle of it. So this is the third one while we're still kind of in the midst of, I think each one we thought, well, this will be our last one. We'll be back to normal the next time. And we're still
so
kind
far,
of in the middle
not
of
happening.
So crazy.
Right now, we're not even going to meet at Pineapple Willie's because our area has seen an exponential rise in cases.
Yeah, it's definitely gone up. I remember for a long time, it was right over 100. I think I even remember saying to my dad, there's only like 135. He goes, oh, that's not so bad. And then all of a sudden, as of today,
it's over
500. On its way to 600. Yeah, it's 540, 550, something like that.
Unbelievable. So. And I saw a little news report that the ICUs are starting to get limited here locally. So yeah. We've said before, we'd much rather apologize if we overreacted to something as opposed to having to apologize that we gave you a potentially fatal virus.
Right.
So,
and without going into details, it has swirled close to us.
It has. Yes, it has. It's gotten close, and we just feel like the better part of wisdom is to keep everybody safe and go back to online only services. So hence, that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, and in the middle of that, we're still in the middle of our remodel at Eastgate.
Yeah.
So I guess what I mean is in the middle of trying to go back from Pineapple Willie's to the building, which should have been fine. It's been empty for months. We haven't finished all the remodel in there. So the
hit a few glitches.
Yeah.
So it kept us from being able to stay on the timeline that we wanted. And so, but we've got it squared away. Just about.
Almost.
A few more little things to get done, and then we should be good to go. And then it's just a matter of drumming our fingers on the table, waiting for things to clear up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think we'll just...
Because here's the thing. A church locally, I won't mention who it is, but there was a church locally that one of the staff members tested positive for COVID-19 and had been to the church services that they were having. And so honestly, that's what makes my head spin, the thought of having to track all that down. And
yeah, the sad thing about that one, too, is they had just gotten back into their building after the hurricane. Been working on it for so long and finally made it back and only got to meet a few times before that happened. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is, you just don't always know that you've been near someone that's positive until sometime after.
Right.
And they say it can take 2 to 14 days to show symptoms. And so...
So it's crazy. But so we had a staff meeting the other day, and we're doing all our staff meetings via Facebook Messenger, online virtual staff meetings. And Janelle was attending the meeting from her car as she was waiting in line to get her COVID-19 test done. So we all got a chance to watch it, because you and I are scheduled to go in next week.
Right.
But we got to watch her, and boy, what a thing that looked like.
it looked awful.
It really did. And she didn't say that it wasn't awful. But, yeah. You know, she's pretty tough. So she, yeah. You know.
Like she said, because I've had babies, I can do this. And so.
But boy, they took a cotton swab and it looked like it went like almost to her brain. It was.
A lot of that swab disappeared when they opened it up her nose. A lot of that swab
disappeared. I didn't know you could go that far back in there. What? That's kind of why I'm drawing skulls. I'm trying to figure this out.
Yeah. And the thing is it takes time to get in to get a test. If you have insurance, you can go some places. If you don't, you have to go other places. I know we scheduled tests just to err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was starting to swirl close to us. And so we said we should probably, so you and I and our son Daniel, we're all getting tested on Tuesday. And, you know, we don't know what that's going to look like. I just know that you stay in your car. It's a different place than Janelle got tested, but we're all just kind of bracing ourselves. And
yeah.
It'll be interesting to hear and see what the results are. And I've heard that, like, if you ever test positive, you need 2 negative tests before you can go back. So it's kind of like, well, once we get tested, I should just schedule the next one just in case and just keep finding out. But it's crazy because I know we all thought it would be go down in the heat. That's one. That was one theory out there. Was once the weather got warmer that this would, like the regular flu, would start to back down, and it has not been the case for at least Florida.
I think that's what really throws me, is that it just, you know, I just feel like we kind of felt like with that heat that was coming in, it just seemed to be falling. Yeah. But then again, we've got so many people coming into town. I feel like it's busier than I can ever remember it being.
Well, I think we even heard Memorial Day was like set records. And that was just beginning.
But yeah, just between Memorial Day and now, I'll spread it out. Between Memorial Day and now, it's felt like an ongoing spring break. Just in terms of the traffic, not maybe necessarily the craziness of it all, but just the intense numbers of people that seem to be here. And we live out at the beach.
Right. We did not have spring break, but we've had since they opened everything back up, it's been like spring break. And spring break at least was only 6 weeks usually.
Right.
This has been a couple months now of just
incessant traffic. Yeah. And woo.
And one something. Of the jobs I have to go down kind of where about midway down Back Beach Road towards Pier Park. And it is not easy getting out of there and having to cross over Back Beach Road, take a left. And it's stop traffic pretty much every day when I try to leave there. So, yeah.
Welcome to paradise.
I know. Well, we do appreciate that. And we have been able to go to the beach a few times. Yeah. The state park was, you know, way backed off on capacity. So there were a few times we couldn't even get in. They were full for the day. And they've
been getting full at around 10 o'clock every day.
So you have to go early.
Which, you know, when I think in terms of like how, when we get back into the groove of things, and I know that once we're past this crisis, and we will get past it, I mean, it will. You know, I know everybody keeps making dire predictions that, you know, this can change us forever and blah, blah, blah. That's highly unlikely to me. But then we're going to, you know, get back to our normal ways of going about things. And when we get back into our normal routines of church and things like that, we're still going to have to try to figure out how we're doing baptisms again. We may actually have to partner with Pineapple Willies. We had to cancel the baptism we were going to do. Mm-hmm. Just because we had to go back to online services again. But we may have to partner with Pineapple Willies or something because it's going to be impossible to get into that park. I know that we cut them down to, 3 times a summer, per the summer.
Mm-hmm. And 2 or 3, yeah.
Yeah, well, we had to cancel one, so we only did 2. And that was the early in May and then early in September, which could be a possibility if we do that. But we're kind of
I think Pineapple Willies is a good choice anyway, because not everybody can walk down in the sand. We've had some people say that they have back problems and things like that. And so that's a great viewpoint just by walking out on the pier. Melissa, again, has been wonderful with us being there and is always sad if we ever have to make any changes to our plans of being there. We were going to be there one more Sunday, finish up with a baptism, and then go back to our meetings and just do 2 services and separate everybody. But then we're just like, well, We stopped that a week early, and unfortunately, we weren't able to quite get the message to everybody. Some still showed up at Pineapple Willie's, and some showed up at the church building. But we're working on other forms of communication,
trying to keep through everybody
texting
informed.
Or messaging, or there's a Planning Center app maybe that might work. And just trying to just go across every means that, you know, people use.
It's
and
a challenge.
It is.
It is really
because that
challenge.
Was sort of a last minute change. That
it was
like a day or two before, and we're just like, yeah, we shouldn't take the chance. So,
I mean, you know, obviously we try to use social media and get the word out there, but I know not everybody's comfortable being on social media or don't have any interest in it.
Mm-hmm.
So then we send out the emails, but not everybody's on the email list. So,
or reads their email soon enough when we put it on our website. So, I think texting is the only other thing. We always joke, carrier pigeon, whatever, smoke signals. Yes. But I mean, we do feel obligated to get the message out, especially when we do have to make last minute changes, and we've had to be flexible. We've had to really change things around quite
a bit. This year especially has challenged our ability to be flexible.
It has. It really has. We've had to work hard at just, you know, thinking of the greater good and bypassing maybe what we personally might want to do or whatever. But I know last Sunday and then this coming Sunday, the stage will not be completely done yet. And so even though we're back in the building, you're not going to start a series probably till after all the sound equipment
again,
is back together. And I think you're getting ready. You're looking forward to
that,
right? Oh,
I'm so looking forward to it. I've been doing research and studying. I got a different take on the book of Galatians that I've not seen before. So excited.
So spoiler alert.
We're going to be looking at the book of Galatians. And it's so cool and so, so timely for us as the church right now, given the things that are going on in our nation. And
So much
that's come to light. So many things that we as Christians have to process through and think about and listen to others about. Oh, one thing that I do want to talk about, though, as stuff that's upcoming on Thursday, July 16th from 11:30 to 1:30, we're partnering with Feed the Gulf Coast and 10,000 pounds, I think, is it 10,000 pounds of food is going to be distributed out in the Eastgate parking lot. So we got room for like 10 or so volunteers. We're also partnering with other churches. Lighthouse Fellowship is coming over to help out, sending some people to volunteer with that. And Truth Fellowship, Damien came and spoke for us.
Yeah.
And so Truth Fellowship is going to get some people together too. And so between all of us, we're going to get out there and distribute food to people that may need it, who might be out of work, especially right now when looks like we might be heading back into another group. Here's
already
my theory.
Shut the bars down again.
Shut the bars down. And my theory is they're going to get us through the 4th of July. Mm. And then all of a sudden you're going to see shutting things down because we are, the whole state of Florida right
crazy.
Now is just spiking. And we locally are rising in cases exponentially. So I can easily see them making some decisions after the 4th. So it's timely. It's going to be timely and important for us to be able to do what we can to help people here in our area.
Definitely. Definitely. I'm so glad that we can be a part of that. Julie and
Trond,
is his first name?
Yeah, Trond. Julian Trond put it together. Julie Gentem and has really been spearheading this. They even got some training and we'll be meeting up there on Monday. So more details will be following. So look at your email, look at social media to see what's coming up, but that's going to be on July 16th that we'll be doing that.
And it'll be a drive-through thing.
Yes.
Everybody who's going to kind of thing.
Yes, everybody who's going to participate has to be masked, and people will not be getting out of their cars. They're just going to open up their trunks, and we're going to put the food in the trunk, and they'll move along. It's, you know, because we're partnering with Feed the Gulf Coast. They have some restrictions on this. Isn't going to be like some sort of evangelistic effort. Then again, how do you define evangelism?
True.
I believe this is part of what the good news represents, caring for those who are in need. So that's a good thing, no matter what. We're advancing God's kingdom through that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
And so thank you to Julie for finding that and doing the heavy lifting.
That together.
Putting that together, yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, we'll know more after Monday. Liz will either send an email out or it'll be social media, wherever. Until those volunteer slots are filled. So there's not a lot of them, but there's, you know, enough.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. So what else have you been dealing with? Our lives are so different. I know, you know, we had, when we first left the building, we did a lot of online meetings. Those are slowly coming to an end. You just finished Theology Thursday. Matt Green has gone to once a month for Friday Fun Night and for Wednesday Worship. He is starting, though, a new study. I think it's coming up this Tuesday.
Yes.
Fruits of the Spirit, a 10-week study. It's going to be at Eastgate, I believe, but he's also going to broadcast it live.
Yeah.
So
anybody who'd like to come out, and obviously we have to try to keep it small numbers. Mm-hmm. So we're not encouraging
a lot of people
coming out. It's going to be meeting in the coffee house. There's only at this point a handful of people who've said that they'd like to to come out and be there in person, but they're going to stream it online as well. And it's he's got a video about it on our YouTube channel, and it's also on Facebook. But it's about the fruits of the Spirit, and
yes,
I think it looks like a great opportunity to dig into that.
It's been a passion of his and an interest of his for a long time. Mm-hmm. He taught the last time, I think, before Damien, you had a guest speaker was Matt Green, and that was back in January. And he talked a little bit about the fruits of the Spirit then,
yeah,
too. And so this, he wants to just spend a lot of time on it and flesh it out. And
yeah,
and I think that's good. There was a women's Bible study that Jessica started. That's kind of been put off for right now. The men's Wednesday night Bible study is still going on, but it's a small group, and they keep distant. But basically things just change, I feel like, from week to week. And so again, we apologize for all the changes and what's going on.
We're just riding the wave and seeing how it's forming up in front of us.
We just have
to figure out what to do as we go.
You know, we talked about it already, but I feel like so much flexibility is required. You and I were talking about quarantining and how, you know, there's part of that.
Is quarantining a word?
I don't know.
I like it.
Sounds like something out of Star Wars.
Yeah, it did sound like something that a Jawa would say. Quarantini.
Yes. But we decided that what we'd really like is selective quarantine, to where you don't have to stay home all the time, but you can get a free pass from some things. I prefer working at home, which is what I've done, you know, off and on over the last several months. And so, but then I want to be able to go out to the store if I want to, too.
Yeah.
So, what I was going to ask you is I know there's a lot of things emotionally that the church is going through. And is there anything there that you want to address or discuss about?
Well, as I said, one of these things that we're going to be looking at in the book of Galatians is so timely given what's been happening in our country, especially in terms of race relations. You know, the intensity of this and the heartbreaking stories associated with this. And I just think it's important for us as the church that we don't just, you know, wag our heads and say, oh, yes, racism, that's terrible, and then go on about our lives. Part of what our calling is as the church is to be that voice that represents God's values into this world, that reflect God's values into this world. And for me, it was really important to just at least reach out and see what was available or what options were available for how we might make a difference. And I'm telling you, it's huge. It's so overwhelming to even know where to begin or what to say or what to do. But I think it's important that we be praying about it and being alert. And I know that everything is so politically charged right now.
It is.
And this radicalized individualism that seems to come to the forefront, which, guys, that is not Christianity. We cannot ever allow ourselves to be swept into this radicalized individualism that, you know, well, I want my way. You see it represented in just the way people are reacting about masks or whatever. That should not be a thing for us as Christians. It's not about seeing to it that our comfort is paramount or that, you know, things are going our way. We want to do what's necessary to look after our fellow human being. And that comes along with the whole race issue as well. We want to look at how we can do what's best for our fellow human being. And I would challenge anybody to take the time to really start looking at this. There have been a lot of things that have been hidden from us. And you could say, oh, Rob, hidden, what do you mean? But I'm telling you, why is it that I'm nearly 60 years old and just now learning about monumental things that took place in our history that never showed up in the history books? There's something to that. That we as Christians, we have to pay attention to. We have to begin to learn. We've got to be humble enough.
That's what I keep thinking.
To look at this and say, okay, well, let's examine this and let's question, how did we get here? And what is it that needs to happen for us to proceed forward in a way that promotes the sanctity of life? Mm. Because that's really what's at the heart of this, sanctity of life. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's big issues about, you know, whether or not a person should say Black Lives Matter. I have no problem saying that. I think that
the words are good.
The words are good. I recognize there is a political movement behind that. That makes no difference to me. The fact of the matter is, people of color are put at risk in our nation for whatever the reasons are. There's a big conversation that has to take place, but more than just conversation, things have got to begin changing. And we as the church have the responsibility to lend our voice to that. I was listening to a lecture by N.T. Wright just the other day, and he was talking about that when, and it was much like what Damian Dunlap shared with us out at the pier, that when the church hasn't been talking about this, when the church has not been representative of what God's values are of this multinational, multiracial, cultural family that comes together in Christ, when we haven't been that, we've divided up into our denominations, we divided up among people groups that are familiar to us and keep us comfortable, and we lost sight of what we're supposed to be representing into the world. And when we don't represent it, and when we don't speak it, someone else will. And he tied it to the statement that Jesus made, that since John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And what his point in that is that when we as the church aren't lending our voice, when we as the church aren't shining that light into this world, then something else is going to do it. And it may be violent. It may be people with different kinds of agendas trying to do these things. And so I think it's a challenge for us as the church to be humble enough and to be aware enough of what's happening, to be willing to listen and not just immediately react to things that we feel like are threatening or whatever. Yes. We to react towards something that we feel like is threatening is a motivation of fear. And we as Christians are not supposed to be fearful. We have nothing to fear. And That's if right. we really believe that, then we can begin to examine and look and see how it is that we can promote justice in ways that protect the sanctity of life, especially right now, given what's happened in our country, especially the sanctity of life for people of color.
Yes. I think, like you say, humility is so key in this, because I think just as a human being, we're naturally defensive if we ever feel like we're being accused of something.
Yeah.
But also I think that the church a lot of times has prioritized individual, I don't want to mean just health and wealth, like in a monetary way, but just like God's will for me is that I get my way and that I can have this and I can have that. And when, you know, we've been taught this since we were early Christians, I know, but it's still something you have to work at accepting. And that is taking up your cross every day and realizing that this Christian walk requires sacrifice. And, we have a lot of good things in our life. And you and I were talking about that the other day, and just how our lives have even changed over the years since from the time we were first married and to where we are now. And in many ways, you know, our kids have been added to us, and, you know, you get on your feet a little, get a little more stable financially as you get older a lot of times. And it's just like, well, would I be willing to make any changes in my life if that's going to affect my safe little happy place that I have every day?
And those are important things for us to be thinking about as believers. I know that I've had conversations with people about this before, and I get it. I mean, I get it. People, you know, bristle at this because it sounds like when we talk about, if we say that there's systemic racism involved in something, immediately people want to bristle and say, I'm not a racist. And I get it. I mean, I get what somebody is saying in that. You know, somebody says, well, I don't see how there's white privilege because I've struggled my whole life. I've, you know, never had anything. I've been mistreated by people before, et cetera, et cetera. But so the concern is that if we say that there is something in the system that is unfair to one race or the other races besides white races, people assume we're calling out everybody that's white as a racist. And that's not the case. What we're saying is that things have been baked into the system. Something happened upstream that we are way downstream from. And it's affected everything. And when you've been in it, when you were born, I was born into this stream. Just like I was born into sin, just like I was born into a broken world, and I've never known anything different. I was born as a consumer, and I didn't know anything different. And it wasn't until Christ came into my life that shook that up and made me realize, oh, I'm in the wrong, I'm going the wrong way in this stream. That's got to change. I think that is the same. This is an issue that we as the church have to confront. We've been we're way downstream of something that has developed around us. We've not known anything different. We've got to be humble enough before Christ, humble enough before our Creator to look at it and ask Him to help me to see and help me to know how I can make a difference here, how I can change the course of this, or cooperate with you, Father, in your changing of the course of this. That's a better way to word it.
Yeah, and I think even to just be more proactive than we have ever challenged ourselves to be in whatever God is presenting. I don't want to get out there and just do for the sake of doing something, but as God presents things to us, and as we pray and make ourselves available, and we're willing to recognize that our lives are not our own, and
that's
that,
right. And it's
we can to help our brothers and sisters.
That's right. And remember also that our highest allegiance is to the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
It's to God's kingdom. And you know, I'm not going to apologize for saying those kinds of things, because that's the reality of it. That's the whole sentiment behind the statement that Jesus is Lord. It's saying Jesus is Lord, Caesar is not. And we have to maintain that, hold on to that, and recognize who our highest loyalty goes to in all these things.
Yes.
And, you know, I would just challenge anybody who has the same color skin as I do to take the time and actually start listening. I mean, there is, to my knowledge, and forgive me if I'm wrong about that, but I don't know of many black pastors out here at the beach. But I do know Damien, so I reached out to him, and we've spent time going to lunch, having conversations. You know, we'll text back and forth. We're developing a good friendship. Mm-hmm. But he's a person that I trust. He has a high regard for Scripture. He's a man of faith. He's a godly man. He's raising godly children. He's a wonderful human being. And so it's so easy for us to immediately assign motives to whatever we can abstract as just some movement or anarchists or whatever. Right. It's so easy just to you know, like I said, abstract that and not catch the humanity behind it. And to sit down and listen to someone whose faith is the same as mine, whose Lord is the same as mine, and to hear his stories, a good man, a man who lives uprightly and doesn't do anything wrong, who gets pulled over with his family in the car for no reason.
You said that he was getting pulled over or gets pulled over regularly just because of the type of car, being a large van or something?
Yes, he moved here and had a van and has a van. It's like a 15-passenger van.
Because he has a bunch of kids.
Because he's got a lot of kids, and God bless him for that. And he's, you know, driving along and on a regular. He gets pulled over. I can't even describe how heartbreaking that is to me. And I'm just saying, I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. And I don't understand how we could ever justify that. You know, just, you could say, well, what? It's pulled over. Think about when you've been pulled over. I mean, I can remember being pulled over, and it's because I've been speeding or whatever. But even still, even like one time I got pulled over, the last time I got pulled over for speeding, and that's a long time ago. So don't start looking at, oh, what's up, Ross? That's what Rob's up to. I was going fishing with Mike Brown. It was early in the morning. I was trying to get over that bridge, and I really wasn't going that fast, but there was a truck right at the same place where I was trying to merge in. And so I sped up just a little bit to get around him. And sure enough, the lights went off, and I kind of felt like, oh, I didn't deserve that, blah, blah, blah. But even still, There is no way around it. When you get pulled over, there's a strange thing that happens to you, that sudden sense that, you know, that somebody in authority over you has now identified you as a wrongdoer mm-hmm. and starts asking you. And I can't think of what that would be like with my children in the car to, for no reason, just be pulled over simply because of the color of my skin. Brothers and sisters, this cannot be. We've got to be able to stop and ask the questions about that. And I realize I've got good friends that are police officers or former police Absolutely. Officers. And so I am certainly not someone who's on a bandwagon I don't even know what kind of a bandwagon I'm on. I'm on Christ's wagon.
Right. Right. That's right.
I don't like that image, but either way.
You see, I thought of that. What's that one guy who walks around with the wagon behind him?
Yeah, the wagon man. Nice. Yeah. He's a good guy. But, he is. But we have to be able to look at it and ask that question. Why is this happening? Why would this happen to this man? This man, if he was all by himself, that would be a good enough question. But I know his isn't the only. I'm hearing other pastors, fellow pastors around the country sharing their stories of how this is a regular thing for them. I don't understand that.
I don't either. I just feel like my eyes are opened.
I don't know what the tipping point, whether it was George Floyd or what, but it's been a cascade since then. And it certainly has been something that I'm encouraged to see that, you know, the church overall is actually responding to this.
Yeah. And I, when you were talking about, I think the concept you were talking about was humanizing the people that we may or may, you know, that we don't know maybe, but I was thinking about how, as we were meeting at Pineapple Willie's every Sunday now, you walk out. When you're done with your message, you walk out. Everybody has to funnel through the same exit.
Yeah.
And so you kind of are like an exit greeter now. And
like that's what in normal churches, I think that's the way they do that.
Yeah.
The pastor, you know.
But you've been doing it there. And so we talk about that a lot because there's a lot of people I never see because I'm just in the middle of the pier the whole time pretty much. But Damien came with you that Sunday when he taught and you both were there together and you told me how wonderful everybody responded to him.
It was beautiful.
And again, it humanized an individual that people may or may not. We've known him for years, but getting to know him more now. But that was their chance to really see what a good human being
he was. To hear his heart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a challenge in front of us. And I know that it's uncomfortable. I know it. I know that it's uncomfortable. But God never called us to be comfortable. Jesus did not say, take it easy. He said, take up your cross.
Yes.
Follow him. And I believe this is part of that aspect for us who have this color of skin.
Yes.
To begin to pay attention. And
it's our opportunity to do something good, opportunities to be a good person and defend the weak.
That's right. And not to identify people of color as weak, but definitely who are put in a weakened position within
our society.
Within our society.
Sorry. That's how I meant it. Thanks for the clarification.
No, that's all right. So, you know, on to other things like with the building and stuff, we're getting it ready to go. So what we've done, if you're interested at all in what's happened over there inside the space where we meet, we've expanded the stage a little bit, which musicians, if you're listening to this, you're going to be happy because you won't be risking falling off the back of the stage all the time.
The side or the back, yeah.
And actually not the back, but the sides of the stage.
Yeah.
We had so many people on there that it's just kind of spilling over all over the place. Mm-hmm. So we've added 4 feet on either side of it and 2 feet out in front.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's just no room to sit in the big room anymore.
Not true.
No, but when we do get back to meeting in there, we are going to be spreading the seats out. And one idea that we had for potentially getting back in there is, you know, still doing our live streaming, but inviting a few people in, you know, maybe a pre-register thing. If you'd like to come in and hang out and be able to see people or see, you know, be there in person. We're going to have the live stream either way. But if a few people wanted to come in and you know, we felt like that was safe. That is not in the immediate future at all, because we just have to see this thing either plateau or begin to come down in our area before I'm going to be comfortable with that.
That but, and the construction needs to get done, so there's no nails on the floor and things like that. So both of those things are still an ongoing.
Yeah. But we've done some redecorating in there. So somebody had said at one point that Eastgate, and I'm going to take responsibility for this. So like Eastgate kind of looked like a frat house where people just put whatever they thought, look, you know, this looks great. Let's put that up or whatever. And that is on me. That back in the 90s when Eastgate was first starting, that was my whole thing. I was trying to think like an Applebee's restaurant or something like that, where there's a lot of eclectic things going on and you just kind of feel like you're at a hangout and
wanted people to feel comfortable. Exactly. And feel like a, which we used to say the honeycomb hideout. You wanted it to be like that.
Which I know dates me because there's people are like, well, honeycomb hideout. But back in the, way back in the old days, there was a honeycomb hideout and the kids would all hang out there and there's their own special little fort. And that's kind of what I wanted it to be like. This is God's kids. We hang out and there's our fort. The problem with it, I see as it's funny that it takes me till I'm almost 60 to where I can mature enough and look at this, but it does send a specific cultural vibe out. We can still be comfortable and we can still make it like a living room without it having to just pigeonhole a specific cultural taste.
Yeah.
And that's actually even one of those things that I had a conversation with Damien about that. And, you know, he was talking from his side. It's easy for him to kind of look at certain things and say, well, that's not me. That's not my thing. I wouldn't be around that or whatever. And I think that in some ways, Eastgate, because of the way our big room looked, kind of sent a specific vibe that, you know, it was a little dark and it was a little cluttered and, you know, whatever. The surf theme was very heavy handed. So we're keeping a surf theme for everybody who's going to freak out. Oh, we're the surf church. So was he keeping his surf? I'm sorry. Was that offensive? I didn't. But if, you know, we're keeping the surf theme, but we're dialing it back just a little bit and just kind of, you'll see it. April Hess has gotten involved in trying to help with putting the new decoration, the new look together. Jessica, but now my daughter has been working on that. And Janelle has been like a workhorse in there. Yeah. Just she laid all new flooring over top of all the green tile and it looks beautiful. And
yes.
So if you ever need flooring done,
I'm telling you,
I'll volunteer.
She's amazing. She can do just about anything she sets her mind to. Yeah. And but yeah, it has a cleaner look to it now.
Yeah.
We just put a little more thought and design into it and just took 80% down from the walls that was on the walls.
A lot of it is just was kind of just minimizing the clutter.
Yeah.
And lightening up the walls a little bit. So it has a brighter, cleaner feel when you get into the building. It's actually quite inviting. I think everybody's going to appreciate it and like it. And
if you tune in on Sunday morning, you can see a glimpse of some of the changes. Some people pointed it out last week. They were seeing the logo behind you at the front. So especially... we have one, like I said, one more week of just kind of winging it with the portable sound system. And then after that, we should
be back to normal.
Should be back to normal. And you'll see the full stage a little bit.
And at that point, we'll be able to do live stream on Facebook or on YouTube as well. Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on that. Cause I know that a lot of people prefer YouTube and we'll see, but it looked like the cameras looked better.
Yeah. Because we lightened the walls. We think maybe it just made it brighter and it made the cameras not screaming for light so much and so a little less pixelization it just looked really good. So I know the girls, Jessica and Janelle, both post every now and then on stories, Eastgate stories. If you don't follow Eastgate Fellowship, remember there's Eastgate Community, which is a group, and then there's Eastgate Christian Fellowship, which is
they call it a business page.
Yeah, I'm using finger quotes right now. You can't see me. But if you follow the business page, you'll see the stories as well. And they put, like Janelle had a little one the other day. It said, bye-bye green and gold tile or green and gray tile, if any of you remember that. That is not around anymore.
Yeah.
It's all been covered up.
It's nice. It's quite lovely.
It is. You and I have done a few things. A
few things.
We figured out how to work a tool. And
we did. I even went and bought some tools because it was so much fun.
It's a new mania. But I'm like,
I've never been that tool guy ever. Yeah. But now all of a sudden I'm feeling like, I want to build something.
Mm-hmm. I painted the bathrooms in the big room. Those have been like that for a long time. My sister-in-law, who passed away years ago, had designed those and painted stripes on them. And there was a wallpaper border and was lovely when she did it, but it was pretty dated. And,
yeah, it bore the marks of 2001.
It did. It was time. So they look really good. And we're excited for everybody to see them whenever they can. Yeah. Whenever
it'll
it's
happen.
Safe.
It will happen. And yeah, and we're going to wait until it's safe because we love you.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line to it. So, I mean, in all of these things, you know, we're having these conversations about very tuppy,
Tupperware,
very touchy subjects.
Mm, yes.
But just know, I mean, we love you. And,
that's right.
And I will sit and talk with anyone about these things. But no matter what we do and no matter how we approach life, we want to do so from the perspective of the gospel, of the scriptures, of what it is that God's revealed to us as to what kind of people we're meant to be.
Yes. There's no point in needlessly offending anybody.
Yeah. So that's not the intent behind this.
Right.
And I hope everybody would understand that, or I hope everybody would know my heart on that.
I can hear you're smiling, and maybe they can too.
Well,
but you are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
you're an easy person to approach and talk to.
But I'm smiling because I'm looking at you. That's why. In so many ways, I just feel like we've the four people, and who even knows if it's even four anymore?
That's true. We may be down to two.
It may be down. The numbers may be down. But for the people that are listening to it, whether it's two or whether it's four, we don't want to keep them too much longer on this.
Just want to say we love you and we miss you all.
We do miss you so much. But so this is the time when we're, you know, wrapping up the podcast. So again, if you know, shake yourself awake. It's time to go back face life and
in the living room or the dining room,
that's
wherever
right.
you go,
wherever it is you're vacationing right at the moment. But we really appreciate you, and we do look forward to that time when we're all going to be together again, and it will happen. So have faith, have confidence.
Yes.
These things pass. The history of the world is full of pandemics. And they never last forever. So we've got a lot of advances in medical science. We'll find our way through this. And God is with us, walking with us. And he'll keep us all. He'll keep you in his grace and in his love. So So for us at Eastgate, we're learning to love God. We're learning to love others.
It's a work in progress.
Ooh.
Let's go watch Hamilton.
All right. The theme music for the Wonder What podcast was written and performed by Scott Holmes from the Free Music Archive.
Nope.